this is your Polycast for Friday, June 19th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, more money for childcare scholarships doesn't necessarily mean more kids will benefit. Catholics react to the Pope's statement on climate change. Statewide unemployment rose slightly last month as more Minnesotans started looking for work, Matt Sepik reports.
State labor economist Steve Hine says about 6,500 workers joined the labor force in May, but fewer than half found jobs. That pushed the jobless rate up a tenth of a point to 3.8%. Hine says young people are largely behind the rise in labor force participation, and he says that's good because it shows job seekers have more confidence in their prospects.
A lot of this increase in our participation rate right now does seem to be on the part of teenagers, the 16 to 19-year-old age category.
Nevertheless, Minnesota employers shed about 200 payroll jobs last month, even as nationwide job growth exceeded expectations. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Dozens of environmental groups are asking President Obama to reject a plan to pump additional oil from Canada across the U.S. border. Dan Crocker has the story.
The 63 groups are calling for a full environmental review of the proposed Alberta Clipper pipeline expansion. The project has been delayed while Enbridge awaits a permit from the U.S. State Department. In the meantime, Enbridge has built a temporary cross-border pipeline that connects to an older existing line to pump the increased oil. The State Department signed off on the workaround. The groups asked the president to reverse the approval of what they called a backdoor scheme. In a statement, Enbridge said the company is in compliance with federal permits. Dan Crocker, Minnesota Public Radio News, Duluth.
A state program that helps low-income families send their children to high-quality preschools got a big boost in last week's special legislative session. But the doubling of funding for early education scholarships won't necessarily double the number of students who benefit. That's because state officials are considering increasing the amount of each scholarship to cover more of the typical cost of preschool. Tim Post has the story.
Here on a shady patio outside Cornerstone Montessori School on St. Paul's east side, 5-year-old Finnegan Ernestos McGuire is working on his math. Today's problem, 8,642 divided by 2.
Those are some big numbers.
Yep, they are. It's in the thousands.
Finnegan is one of 55 students in the preschool program at Cornerstone. They range in age from 18 months to 5 years old. Teacher Sarah Papacek says the program's goal is to get students ready for kindergarten.
They love it. They love learning. They love building their knowledge. And it's also building the joy from a really early age to enjoy learning.
The state has been working for decades to get more young students into these types of programs. The issue turned contentious this spring when lawmakers and Governor Mark Dayton disagreed over the issue during the legislative session. Dayton wanted money to fund universal preschool for all of the state's 4-year-olds, something that was backed by the state education commissioner and statewide teachers union. Dayton vetoed the education bill in the regular session because it didn't include universal pre-K. But during the special session, Dayton agreed to drop that initiative in favor of a compromise with Republican leaders in the House to double the state's early learning scholarships. The scholarships give low-income families $5,000 a year to spend on preschool. It can be private, home, or school-based, as long as it gets a 3- or 4-star rating from Minnesota's Parent Aware program. 5,000 families now receive such scholarships. And since funding has doubled, the young math students at Cornerstone Montessori could calculate that 10,000 families might benefit in the next round. But public policy math isn't that simple. That's because the State Department of Education is considering whether to increase the amount each family can receive to get closer to the full cost of preschool, which is more than $12,000 a year. Frank Forsberg, who heads up the early learning advocacy group Many Minds, likes the idea of an increase.
Now that we're adding some funds to this pool, I think it's probably a good idea to expand that cap.
Forsberg wants the scholarship cap set at $8,000. He says that will allow families to pick higher quality preschools. And it would also help out preschools who've been supplementing the state scholarships with their own scholarship dollars. Art Rolnick would like to see the scholarship go even higher, to $10,000. Rolnick is a senior fellow at the University of Minnesota's Humphrey School of Public Affairs and a longtime advocate of early childhood education in Minnesota.
You increase the cap, that means fewer children can go. That's right, there's a trade-off there. But better to have these children go to high quality and create a sustainable model rather than shortchange the children, shortchange the program.
Rolnick is confident the scholarship model could close the gap in kindergarten readiness between white students and students of color and help narrow the achievement gap in student achievement in later grades. Whether to increase the early education scholarship cap and by how much is up to the state's Education Commissioner Brenda Caselius. Caselius hopes to make a decision within a few weeks.
So we want to be sure that we help our young families out and make it more affordable for them to be able to send their children to high-quality childcare and preschools so that they're all ready for school when they come in kindergarten.
Caselius wanted lawmakers to fund universal preschool for all four-year-olds this session. It's something she says she'll continue to push for. Tim Post, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota Catholics are reacting to the Pope's encyclical on the environment and climate change. Some of them say they agree with the message to reduce waste, switch to cleaner forms of energy, and redefine progress and development. They say the challenge now is converting words into action. Elizabeth Dunbar reports.
I am a child of this planet. I live as one with the life of this earth.
A few dozen Catholics and others celebrated the Pope's message on climate change on busy Summit Avenue in St. Paul this afternoon. They sang, prayed, and offered some of their own ideas on how to respond. Father Joseph Weiss, pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Community, gave the group his interpretation of the Pope's encyclical.
That climate change is a moral issue, that the Church has an important role to play in the conversation, and that this is the time to act.
You know, not that many years ago, I was proud if I recycled.
Mary Kay Olson is a parishioner at St. Stephen's Catholic Community in Minneapolis. She says she now understands it's so much more than that. Lately, she's been working to promote community solar programs that also meet the goals of environmental justice, allowing low-income people to participate.
If something wasn't done, there would be another instance of the haves and the have-nots. The people who could afford solar would have it. The people who couldn't would not.
Pope Francis has expressed his concern that the poor will experience disproportionate negative effects of climate change. The Pope also lamented pollution, waste, and, quote, a throwaway culture. At a separate news conference hosted by the Minnesota Catholic Conference, the church's policy arm in Minnesota, organic dairy farmers Brad and Leanne Dene of Kimball, Minnesota, say the Pope's message reaffirmed their own values.
We're working together, we're living together, we're going to church together, and it is just reassuring after reading that, you know, we're living our lives the way God wanted us to, and we're making a living.
Brad Dene says there's enough demand for organic cheese to allow them to double in size and hire employees. But he says his family prefers keeping things simple. He says when he used chemicals on the farm in the past, it gave him a headache, and he worried about his family's health. The Pope calls for sustainable agriculture in the encyclical and notes that pesticides have hurt biodiversity. Yet even as Minnesota Catholics embrace the Pope's message, some leaders say the document doesn't give many specific policy prescriptions. St. Cloud Bishop Donald Kettler says that will force parishes to come up with their own solutions.
We seem to be having to go to one side or the other on any issue. Maybe the people could think, I would say that Pope Francis is going one way or the other, but my feeling is that he's saying to us, talk to each other.
Kettler says conversations with the youngest parishioners will be especially important.
I think they're open to that. Problem that I see with a lot of our young people is they say, well, we do have to take care of our environment and so on, but then they're caught in a culture that is very wasteful and very throwaway type. And so how do you bring people from principles to action?
Minnesota Catholic Conference Executive Director Jason Adkins says one policy Minnesota should consider that fits with the Pope's message is boosting the state's renewable energy standard. That's something Republicans in the Minnesota legislature have resisted, but Adkins says people should put the planet ahead of politics.
So for those in looking at this document and simply trying to use it to grind a partisan axe, there is going to be something in here. In fact, there's lots in here to challenge everyone.
For instance, he says, the Pope reaffirms the church's anti-abortion stance.
I think this document is more progressive than any progressive out there in the American landscape today and more conservative than any conservative out there in the landscape today.
Elizabeth Dunbar, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Have a great weekend. I will see you again here next week.